Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome to Heritage Radio Network On Tour. I'm Harry Rosenblum. My show on the network is called Feast Your Ears, and today we're broadcasting live from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. We want to thank the Julia Child Foundation for making our coverage possible and Charleston Wine and Food Festival for having HRN down here for the fifth year in a row. So I am very pleased to get to sit down today with John Coleman from Parcel 32. Thanks, John.
Hello, nice to meet you.
So your commute here today to Marion Square was probably the shortest of anybody.
It was about two blocks. Quick walk.
Walk past your restaurant a few times since coming to town. Tell me a little bit about Parcel 32. You took over the kitchen there last year, right?
I did. I officially took over the kitchen there at the beginning of December. So a lot going on. Got a new staff, got some new food coming out here in the next month or so. So we're really excited. Beautiful restaurant. Sure, if you walk by, you saw.
It is.
It's a gorgeous restaurant, so we're excited to kind of take hold of it and do our thing there. So
now, are you making changes to the menu since taking over as the chef, or do you guys run seasonal changes? How does it work?
It's a little bit of both. We try to work with the seasons. Obviously, down here, we have access to tons of produce and tons of different products and purveyors, so try to work within the seasons with what's available, what we can get our hands on. That's usually dependent on the weather. So some days it's 70, some days it'll drop to 30, and that affects our cover crops and whatnot. So,
I mean, coming down here from the Northeast, where like even though it hasn't been a particularly cold and snowy winter, it's still dreary in winter. And coming down here, where like now there are the first signs of spring, the trees have buds on them. I visited Fresh Future Farm in North Charleston yesterday, and I mean they've got beautiful collards growing now, and so I mean you guys have access to a lot of stuff.
Absolutely, we have access to tons of stuff. We try to work with a lot of local farms, spade and clover, rooting down farms, a bunch of different farms. So whatever they have available, whatever they're growing, we try to deal with it and do what we can with it. We try to use it in whatever way possible.
What's your favorite spring ingredient?
Spring ingredient? We start getting into tomatoes and peaches and peppers and all that stuff right now. We're kind of working our way out of root vegetable season, so we're using a lot of those right now. Had a couple of cold snaps in the last few weeks, so that's kind of bumped everything back a little bit.
Sure.
But we're looking forward to spring, beautiful produce. So
awesome. Wanted to talk a little bit about you, where did you grow up, and how did you get into, how did you become a chef?
I grew up in the small town of Clemson, South Carolina. My family worked at the university, and one of my best friends growing up's family's had a couple of restaurants. So when we were 8, 9 years old, we were in there peeling potatoes, doing all the grunt work.
Cheap labor.
Very cheap labor. And we were probably getting, I don't know we were getting paid. We were probably getting paid by the day, so. I don't know the child labor laws there, but I'm sure we were breaking a few of them.
And then you studied graphic design.
I did. So I went to Clemson briefly, transferred down to Charleston, graduated with a degree in graphic communications, but kind of cooked my way through college. So that was kind of my means of income and survival. So one thing led to another, and then it kind of just became my permanent profession. It seemed a lot more interesting than sitting behind a computer. I had a short attention span with that, so I like being hands-on and kind of working little science experiments in the kitchen. So,
do you find that your graphic design experience plays into the way you compose your dishes?
Absolutely. I think there's a level of meticulousness in graphic design, so I think that definitely helps in the kitchen, just like attention to the small details. But there's definitely a lot of crossover. I mean, even getting into like menu formatting, you know, signage, plating, I think it's all kind of a visual art form. So, yeah, absolutely, it crosses over.
Awesome. And what kind of food did you guys have in the house growing up?
A lot of casseroles.
Yeah?
A lot of casseroles. I was a child of the South, so working parents, came home a lot to casseroles, a lot of rice and peas and Spam.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people out there remember Spam. I guess it's still a thing. eaten a lot of that as a child. So not the not the best cuisine. They tried hard, though. My mom tried hard to make good food, so she always let me be involved in the process.
And what did she think when you became a chef?
She was like, what are you doing? No, they love it. They come in all the time. They see us. We actually use her sometimes. She bakes bread for us right now on our brunch menu. But I think they like it. They see that I enjoy it, and I think that's, you know, their main thoughts behind it is as long as I'm enjoying what I'm doing, they're supportive of it. So I'm sure they would love me to have been an architect or a doctor or something. But
I mean, being a chef at a restaurant, a beautiful restaurant in downtown Charleston, seems to be pretty good. I mean,
it's a good life.
It seems like life down here when it's not pouring rain is pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice. I mean, it's a pretty small town considering how many restaurants are down here. So, I mean, we're two blocks away. So I get to walk right up the street and come to this wonderful festival.
Yeah, awesome. Are you doing any events with the festival?
We are. We did our signature dinner last night with Sarah Bradley, who I believe y'all had on about an hour ago. Yep. She's from Freight House in Paducah, Kentucky. It was last night. It was a super amazing dinner. She was great to work with, super laid back, awesome chef. And then obviously we're doing this. And then on Saturday, we're over at the Night Bazaar at Holy City Brewing. So.
Awesome. And do you, like, when you are creating your menu, how much of the stuff is focused on local South Carolina foods?
I mean, we try to start with whatever we have access to. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the base of the dish. I mean, we can, you know, slap proteins and seafood on a lot of stuff. I mean, we have access to that here as well. But, I mean, I think our main focus is what vegetables are available, what grains are available. And we kind of use that as the base for where we're going. But yeah, I mean, whatever's in season, our farmers will email us or send us a hot sheet, and we'll take a look at it and kind of build on that.
And you mentioned science experiments in the kitchen. What kind of stuff are you working on?
Just playing with different techniques. I mean, cooking is a science, you know, temperatures and acidity and, you know, all the other factors that go into cooking. But, you know, we like to tinker around. I like our staff to be pretty creative. So if they have something they want to work on or a technique they're not familiar with, we try to encourage them to follow it through and, you know, learn lessons. Some are going to be failures, some are going to be successes. So we enjoy doing that, yeah.
Do you ever get to spend any time outside the kitchen? What do you like to do?
Not too much time. go out to the beach, try to travel. I'm actually going out to Los Angeles next week to visit a couple friends, eat at some restaurants out there. So it'll be nice to get out there. But I like to travel, like to get up to the mountains, have a wild little puppy that I like to take out to the beach. But yeah, for the most part, just enjoy Charleston and what we have surrounding us, whether it's the beach or rivers going on boats, et cetera.
Yeah, it must be hard having a dog on the restaurant schedule.
It is. My girlfriend helps keep me in check on that, though, and I have a good roommate that'll go check on him. So
that's good. is there anything that you think people should be cooking with more at home? Anything that, like, you're using in the restaurant or you see chefs using that you, like, think, well, people really should be cooking at home with this that you don't think they are?
It's hard to say because I don't really cook at home much. But I think people have gotten better over the years, like, being a little more interesting with their cooking and using stuff maybe they were unfamiliar with or uncomfortable with. You know, my girlfriend, for instance, she'll, like, bring something to the table. I'm like, wow, I didn't know you knew what that was. And, you know, I'll help her execute it for dinner and she'll meal prep and whatnot. But, I don't know. I think people could, you know, easier things like making pasta or, you know, a lot of people can pickle at home. I think people are a lot of times scared of cooking large proteins at home.
Sure.
And butchering and that stuff. But I don't know. That's kind of a hard question. I very rarely cook at home.
Where do you like to eat around here?
I like a bunch of places. I used to work at Edmunds, so I love going there. I was at Chubby Fish. My good childhood friend James is the owner over there, so I love to go see those guys. Whenever I have some money in my pocket, I'll go down to McCrady's and check out their tasting menu. But yeah, there's so many places at this point in time, it's hard to pick one.
And what should people be on the lookout for coming up on your menu? Like, what kind of things are coming on the menu soon?
Just more like, we're really trying to emphasize fresh produce. I think a lot of times it kind of gets overlooked in a lot of restaurants, and we want that to be like the solid focus of what we're doing. And while doing that, we also want to make sure we're being sustainable and using our local farms. So really bright spring, early summer dishes. It gets hot down here, so we need refreshing food that's not too heavy. So light and bright, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure to sit down and chat and find out more about you and Parcel 32.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Harry Rosenblum. Thanks again to the Julia Child Foundation for making our coverage possible. Stay tuned for more from Charleston Wine and Food.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaeli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.